I want to invite you folks, if you would please, to open your pew Bibles to the Old Testament section, page 501. Such a familiar psalm this morning. Most of us are used to the translation from the King James Version, but I'd like us to read together the scripture reading for today, Psalm 23, from the New Revised Standard Version. Let's read together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. The same God who inspired these words, incline our hearts and our minds to their understanding. Let's pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I think most of us are as familiar with Psalm 23 as we are with the parable of the prodigal son, and I'd wager that most of us have memorized significant portions of it, if not the whole thing. Even folks who don't read the Bible very often or much at all can even, I think, quote you a line or two, mostly because of how many times they have heard the psalm read at funerals. And perhaps one of the most beloved parts is that whole business about being led beside still waters and green pastures. At least that's one of my favorite parts of the psalm. And in fact, when we get to that part in the psalm about the valley of the shadow of death, as the King James puts it, well, let's just get over that part as fast as possible, right? So that we can hear, "For you are with me." And be reminded of how there is comfort in the rod and the staff of the good shepherd. And I think that's as it should be, I guess. Especially when you consider that we live in a day and time today when we do all we can to avoid talking about death or our own mortality. I mean, even the language that we speak of death avoids that reality. "I'm so sorry you lost your sister." Or, "Yes, Aunt Rose passed away early this morning." Or, "I can't believe he's gone." Some of you have heard me tell the story about three buddies who were standing around talking one day, and one of them asked the other, he said, "You know, when you're in your casket and friends and family are mourning and standing over you, maybe walking by in the line, what would you like to hear them say about you?" And the first guy, who was a physician, says, "Well, I would like to hear them say that I was a great doctor and I was a great family man, and I did all that I could to develop a great family and help as many people in my practice as I could." And the second man, who was a teacher, said, "I would like to hear them say that I was a wonderful husband and a school teacher who made a huge difference in the lives of children of tomorrow." And the third guy looked at these other two and said, "Well, that's really good. I mean, I really admire that. But I'll tell you what, when they walk by my casket, you know what I want to hear them say? I want to hear them say, 'Look, he's moving!'" Well, the reality, of course, is that there comes a time for all of us when we will not move about anymore in the here and now. And even though that is so, and even though we are used to hearing Verse 4 from the King James Version is, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." The sense of the Hebrew can also mean a place of deep darkness. In other words, there are some experiences in our lives that can feel like that. And I think the New Revised Standard Version translation of verse 4 makes that pretty clear. "Even though I walk through the darkest valley." There are some experiences in our living that can feel very much like we are dying, right? I had that thought just last week when I was at physical therapy with George. But you all know as well as I do that there are a lot darker valleys in our lives than physical therapy. And so what we need to remember is that while Psalm 23 gets a lot of airtime at funerals, it is really a psalm about living. And God's good care of us through the darkest valleys that life can throw at us. The psalm is really a statement of God's good shepherding us, if you will, in the difficult, troubled, and hard stretches that we go through in life. Now, it is a well-documented fact that in the ancient world, as in ours today, shepherds were herders or tenders of sheep. But in the Old Testament, the word shepherd was also a metaphor for the role that kings were to play. They were to tend to their subjects, providing for them and protecting them, as Coppertone does. No, just kidding. Protecting them as a good shepherd does. The problem was, of course, that many kings back in the day were lousy shepherds of people. They could really give a rip about giving any kind of help to anyone other than their own powers and preferences. And so for the writer of Psalm 23 to say, "The Lord is my shepherd," was simply another way of him saying, "The Lord is my king." And then he goes on to point out all the good that God does as a good shepherd king. The writer begins the psalm by saying, "I am under the authority of the mighty and good King who is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Sarah and Ruth." And in the rest of the psalm, he gives a description of the good things that come to him as the subject of this good King. And of course, one of those good things is the shepherd God's presence in the midst of dark or death valleys. And so, my friends, I would suggest to you today that this psalm is most beloved by many people for the simple reason that it is a statement of great confidence in God. As one commentator puts it, "Whether our dark valleys are times of trouble or the actual passage through death itself, we believe that God is not only with us, but is more than equal to whatever threats to our spiritual well-being may lurk within that darkness." The issue, of course, is that sometimes this belief, this confidence, eludes us, right? When we're in the midst of those dark times or our own death valleys, our confidence is more often than not woefully lacking. I mean, I ain't seeing any still waters or green pastures in the middle of my own dark night of the soul. You know what I mean? I'm seeing tsunamis and wastelands. I'm seeing dungeons and dragons. And wondering why in the world God seems so far away and how in the world the psalmist can have this kind of confidence. Hold that thought for just a minute. And come with me, if you would, to the real Death Valley. The one in California. Death Valley. The lowest, driest, and hottest desert in the United States. Since we began keeping records, apparently it is reported that the hottest temperature in this country, 134 degrees, occurred there in Death Valley. And it isn't uncommon to have day after day with 120 degree temperature in the summer there in Death Valley. In the carefully measured language of the official brochure of Death Valley National Park, it states, "Summer starts early in Death Valley. By May, the valley is too hot for most visitors. Lodging and camping are available, but only the most hardy will want to camp in the low elevations in the summer. Most visitors tour by car to the main points of interest along the paved roads, but do little else due to the extreme heat. And there in Death Valley is what is called Racetrack Playa. A playa is a dry lake bed, and Racetrack Playa is a very large one. The NASA satellite photos of the Racetrack Playa, absolutely fascinating. It looks like a perfect oval of a racetrack set in the middle of a mountain range. And it's a long playa, 3 miles long, a mile and a half wide. And Andrea this week, in researching an image for our bulletin cover, helped me learn that Racetrack Playa is home to one of the most interesting mysteries of Death Valley. The famous sailing rocks of Racetrack Playa. Anybody ever heard of these? Dave? Yeah. This was really new to me and totally fascinating. Check out these pictures and listen to the way this whole concept is described on geology.com. These rocks, which by the way are not meteors, they're simply rocks that have somehow come down from the mountain ranges on either side of the playa. These rocks can be found on the floor of the playa with long trails behind them. Somehow these rocks slide across the playa, cutting a furrow in the sediment as they move. Some of these rocks weigh as much as 700 pounds. That makes the question how they move a very challenging one to scientists. The truth is, get this, no one knows for sure exactly how these rocks move. Although a few people have come up with some pretty good explanations, the reason why their movement remains a mystery is apparently no one has ever actually seen them in motion. Racetrack Playa is a lake bed that is almost perfectly flat and almost always dry. The surface is covered with mud cracks, and the sediment is made up of mostly silt and clay. The climate in this area is arid. It rains just a couple of inches per year. However, when it rains, the steep mountains which surround the Racetrack Playa produce a large amount of runoff that converts the playa floor onto a broad, shallow lake. When wet, the surface of the playa is transformed into a very soft and very slippery mud. The shape of the trails behind the rocks suggests that they move during times when the floor of Racetrack Playa is covered with a very soft mud. A lack of disturbed mud around the rock trails eliminates the possibility of a human or animal pushing or assisting the motion of the rocks. For many, though, the favorite explanation is wind. The prevailing winds that blow across the Racetrack Playa travel from southwest to northeast. Most of the rock trails, operative word there, most of the rock trails are parallel to this direction. This is strong evidence that wind is the primary mover, or at least involved with the motion of the rocks. That being said, however, it would take winds of up to 150 miles an hour to move the biggest boulders, even over a slippery slurry of mud. And while it can become very windy on Racetrack Playa, NASA reports that winds have never reached that speed there. That leads some scientists to think that maybe ice has moved them. Sometimes when that rain comes down, temperatures get very cold and there's a very thin layer of ice. The rock becomes embedded in the ice. When the ice thaws, the rock moves, also accompanied by wind. But scientists also point out, if that was the case, then the ice would form different movements around the rock and so on. Geology.com simply says, perhaps the story will remain more interesting if the real answer is never discovered. I like that. Next picture. So what? So, in the midst of our own Death Valleys, if you will, the confidence of the psalmist is that somehow, some way, there is a comfort that comes and we are moved to a different, and more often than not, better place. And sometimes the how of that comfort and movement is a very subtle thing and may even go unseen or unknown, like the movement of the rocks on Racetrack Playa. Sometimes a note arrives at just the right time and we are moved. Sometimes a phone call or an email or a warm embrace from a friend comes to us and we are comforted and moved. Sometimes a meal shows up at our door from somebody who loves us and cares about us, and we are moved. Sometimes the words of a sermon will be just what you need to hear, or the words of a beloved spouse, or a son, or a daughter, or a mother, or a father, or a trusted colleague, or a group of friends will be just what you needed to hear, and you will be moved from your deathbed. Sometimes a piece of music or a piece of art will move us to a better place beyond the dryness and the shadows, and sometimes even the silence itself in the midst of that death valley will move us. And I believe the psalmist would say, yes, you are absolutely right. And it is all the work of the Good Shepherd who restores our lives, as the Hebrew allows in verse 3. Sometimes the wind of the Spirit blows across our dry and weary souls in a mysterious and totally unexplainable way and moves us to a place that we never, ever dreamt we would be. But it is exactly where God wants us to be. And this is the confidence of the writer of Psalm 23. It is the same confidence of the psalmist who writes in Psalm 139 these words: where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. And so, good people of God, the next time you find yourself in your own dark valley, that is really more like Death Valley or Racetrack Playa, may you know the confidence of this psalmist. And may the Spirit of the good and faithful Good Shepherd God move you to a place of light and warmth, a place of hope and peace. Peace that passes all understanding. And may you know that this one, restores your soul. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Lord, we walk through some pretty deep and pretty dark valleys in our lives. Sickness, injury, job loss, tremendous challenges in our work, broken marriages, children who have lost their way, and yes, even death itself, Lord. We know these valleys are a part of life that humanity has had to travel since Adam and Eve, but we need to know too that the valley is not the destination. We know you have faithfully led your followers through this valley countless times before, Lord, and so great and good came. May we too fear nothing in this valley of darkness because of our confidence in your sure and subtle presence always. And we pray in the name of Jesus, your Son and our Savior. Amen.